puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
That music means it's time for another installment in Gordon Goldsborough's really interesting series, Abandoned Manitoba. Long lost and sometimes just shortly lost buildings are brought to our attention because they, through Gordon, have a story to tell. He's with me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Laurie.
Okay, harking back to last week when we talked about the Rose Hill limestone quarries and the kilns, very interesting. We had a little, you gave me a little hint at the end, as you usually do, and you said, we go from the sound of the Narrows to a bowstring.
Well, a bowstring, of course, in some people's minds might convey an image of a musical instrument, or it might convey sort of an image of a bow and arrow. And it's in the latter context that I'm thinking of it today.
Okay.
I'm thinking of a bowstring arch bridge. If you think of a bow, it, of course, consists of the part that there's the string, of course, and then there's the wooden part, or I guess today that's made of other materials, that curve. Well, these bridges have this sort of graceful curve on top of them, sort of a almost like a, well, some people actually call them sort of a rainbow bridge because it kind of looks like the curve of a rainbow on the top.
And where might this be?
Well, in this particular case, we're talking about a bowstring arch bridge that is in the rural municipality of Portage-la-Prairie, sort of between Oakville and Portage itself, near a little village called Newton. People do call it the Rainbow Bridge, and I mean, it makes sense because it does look like a rainbow. But engineers, and I've been talking to a few engineers that are into bridges to the same degree I am, and they say, no, technically it's called a bowstring arch bridge.
Okay, those engineers are very persnickety about what you call these things.
Very precise.
From the engineering point of view, why bowstring bridges?
It's a way, and I'm told from an engineering perspective, it's a very efficient way of carrying the load of the bridge. Because, of course, the bridge is the actual thing we cross over has to be supported. There needs to be something that prevents us from dropping into the river as we're going across it. And today, most of the time, we have these piers that come up from the bottom and the bridge actually sits on the piers. But in the past, I think partly because they wanted to maintain the ability to navigate underneath the bridge, they didn't necessarily want anything holding it up in the middle of the river.
Right.
So instead, they had this bridge, this arch on top. And the fact that the arch is sort of curved means that it can you can have how to describe them. I'm not an engineer. Clearly,
it looks nice, like a bow. And
well,
it
looks nice,
go under.
but it's also I guess a very efficient way you can have supports maybe hanging down from this arch, and then you can fasten the deck of the bridge to that, and then it's a very effective way of carrying this load of the bridge. So back in the day, in the early 20th century, there actually were quite a number of these bowstring arch bridges around the province. Today, they're very rare, and I've only ever found about six of them.
Well, who built this one, the Newton bowstring arch bridge?
Well, inevitably, they'd be built usually by a private contractor. In this particular case, it was by a fellow named William Newton, Newman. But the actual cost of building the bridge was shared equally by the provincial government, because at the time this bridge was built around 1919, there weren't many bridges, there weren't many roads, and the provincial government was trying to change that. They wanted to build roads as part of a way of encouraging settlement, but it was shared with the municipal government. So in this case, the municipality of Portage-la-Prairie would have shared part of the cost as well.
So you said that these were built so that traffic could go over and so that boats could go under. So that's that mean that they were built just on the big rivers? But this isn't a big river.
No, it's the La Salle River.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, part of the mystery about this particular one, in fact. Most of these bridges, these bowstring arches, were on fairly large rivers. Mm-hmm. Not to the extent of, say, the Red River or the Assiniboine River, but, you know, modest rivers that would still potentially have had navigable water underneath them. They would build these large bridges. This was a particularly costly bridge by bridge standards in the early 20th century. This one, apparently, from the records I found, cost $7,000. Most bridges at that time cost a couple of $100s.
So the big bucks went into this bridge because why? You don't know?
This is the mystery. It's built in a place that is really surprising. Most of the bridges I found have been along major roads, or what used to be major roads. This one, from all I can tell, was never a major road. It was, well, today, driving up to it, you're driving on dirt roads. In fact, there are times when, I remember the first time I visited this site, my car was literally going sideways down the road because the road was so muddy. I just can't imagine this road was ever a major highway. So the question is, why the heck did they build this magnificent bridge in the middle of nowhere? Maybe it wasn't a major road, but maybe at one time it was assumed it was going to be a major road. For example, a friend of mine out near Austin came across some bridges west of Austin that would likewise look pretty impressive. And it turned out, after he did a little research, that the original route for the Trans-Canada Highway was supposed to go where these bridges were. They built the bridges and then went, oh, you know what? Maybe we're not going to build the road here after all. And then they moved the Trans-Canada Highway a mile north. The only thing I can think of is that maybe they built this bridge thinking there was going to be a highway go through here, and then they changed their mind. Their highway went somewhere else, and they'd already built the bridge.
Oh, economic broken dreams. It's another little mystery, and if anybody can help us solve it, give us a call, 788-3102. Now, next week, Terry McLeod will be back from his holidays and in this chair, but let's have the hint anyway, just so that we can all think about it before you talk to Terry next week.
Well, okay, like this week's site, next week's is going to involve a water crossing.
A water crossing, but not a bridge?
Not a bridge. Definitely not a bridge.
Okay, we have that to look forward to. Thanks a lot, Gordon.
You're welcome, Laurie.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Gordon will be back next week with the story of a water crossing, as he said. That is not a bridge. And you can follow the map and see the photos of all that Gordon's found at mhs.mb.ca.